We're going to return to Matthew. We were here not so long ago. I'm not going to explain a lot of the text, but I do want to have the context for a few verses I have in mind in particular for our topical sermon today. Matthew 24, beginning with verse 36, and we're going to read through chapter 25, verse 40. But again, it's mostly to give you context. I will refer to sections, but I will not reread them. So try to keep in view the context, and we're going to look at a few verses. Matthew 24, beginning with verse 36, through Matthew 25, verse 40. Hear now the word of the Lord. This is the Lord Jesus speaking of his return, his second coming. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came, and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily, I say unto you that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, chapter 25. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knowest that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we there and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto me, one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. May God bless the reading, the preaching, the hearing, the believing, and the obeying of his holy word. Let me ask you a question, beloved. If you knew that Jesus was coming back tomorrow, would you plant a tree? Some people would say, why would you bother planting trees if you think Jesus is coming back so soon? Why would you bother doing that? It is said that Martin Luther said, although it's debated whether he actually said it, but if I knew Jesus Christ was coming back tomorrow, I would still plant an apple tree today. Yes, we should. The best use of our time is to be busy improving things, preparing for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. After all, we will be with him here on the new heaven and new earth. And of course, he's going to cleanse and change the earth, but it'll be the same earth. I was thinking about this while we were working yesterday. In the context of our waiting and watching for our new covenant son to arrive any day or every week now, I was thinking, boy, the last few weeks as we've really been anticipating he might come at any moment, that's had a big impact on our focus as a family and as a church family, and it's had a big impact on what we've been doing with our time. Every day we're expecting him to come. And this does not cause us to be lazy. This does not cause us to be careless. Can you imagine? Oh, the baby's coming at any moment. Let the house go into disarray. You know, like, oh, the baby's coming at any moment. We don't need to do our laundry. You know, like, just wait and rest. And now, naturally, there's a place where we need to rest. That's part of waiting on the Lord. For instance, I have to watch Fernanda a lot and say, honey, you need to lay down. You need to get some sleep. Because when that baby comes, you're going to need your energy. So there's a place for that. Not to say there's not a place for rest, of course. But as we have been anticipating his arrival, but there's been a few days where we're like, oh, I think he's coming tomorrow. And we got busy on a few things that we'd been meaning to get done. And really, we wanted to get done before he came. So that anticipation of he might be here at any moment got us getting more things done, got us accomplishing more things. And it was always something we said, well, this is kind of good. If we go a couple more weeks and we think he's coming tomorrow, we're really getting a lot done. But we might not have if we were kind of thinking, well, he's probably coming in a little while. We've got time. And we get to enjoy what we have accomplished in the meantime. We're pretty tired. I mean, we usually find ourselves crawling to bed. I particularly have a theme lately as I come to bed. I'm old as I waddle. But we always find ourselves saying, boy, it's so great that we got that done. Doesn't it feel great to have gotten that done? And it was the anticipation of the imminent arrival of our son that we thought was happening that night or the next day. And so we got something else done and it just feels great. So, for instance, our bags are packed. I even have my bag packed. I hate packing. I never pack till the last minute. I usually try to get the kids or my wife to do it for me. I just hate packing. I'm not good at it. And they're in the van, and we're careful to move it back and forth to whatever van we're driving just to be safe. We've got everything we need in the van. We got our air conditioning fixed on the van yesterday. It was going out. We're like, oh, I don't know if we should risk fixing it right now. But we said, you know what? We got the other van. We can make it work if we have to. We know our family, church family, will help us with the kids. So let's get it fixed. And it got fixed, and it works so great now. I'm like, oh, yes, you know, one more thing. You know, there's always this kind of, will there be time? Well, let's just try. Now, of course, again, we had a backup plan, so it was not an unwise choice, but it was good to have it done. We took some pregnancy pictures at the park the other day. You know, we've been saying, oh, we've got to try to go get some pregnancy pictures, but we're so busy, it's hard to make time. And we said, look, after this doctor visit, we're going to go to Chula Vista Harbor. And we just took pictures, and Fernanda's asking for pictures all the time, and then she's getting tired. And I said, no, we're not done. You ask me all the time. We are getting all of the sunlight before it goes down. And then she was glad later because we got some really special pictures. And we said, boy, and we got such a sweet video. I'm hoping to get it up to be able to share it with you. Such a sweet video of a message she left for Gideon, who's arriving. And, you know, it was such a special moment. We got special pictures. But because we think he's coming at any moment, we said, we better do this now. Pretty soon there's not going to be a baby belly to take pictures of, you know. And we've taken some before, but it was fun. Celebration with a family dinner. We worked so hard as a family. We said, we're just going to go out to eat because, you know, when the baby comes, we're not going out for a while. And when the baby comes, because of COVID-19, they won't be able to come to the hospital, and I won't be able to leave the hospital, so they'll be waiting. And we've got the house stocked with food. And then we thought, okay, we're ready. But then the baby didn't come. So then I got the house stocked with food again, you know. The way they said, gee, Dad, you bought so much food, it looks like you got an army here. What we got to do. But just all these things to be ready. And we had a lovely dinner of fellowship Friday night, celebrating, anticipating, thinking about that chair that will soon have one more person in it. We got the bushes trimmed. Abraham did an amazing job on that yesterday. Man, we've been meaning to do that for months. I usually get it done in August, but I've been so behind. And he just, it's great to have your son get turned into a teenager. The girls do a lot already. Boy, he's working hard now. But we got that done. It feels so great to get it done. I was so hoping we could get that done before the baby came. We got the birth plan done and shared with the doctors. We got that up for the hospital. We got going on the ball exercises, you know. And we said, we've got to get moving on that. Got the garage cleaned out. Cleansed the van a couple of times because he didn't come yet. So we did a big cleaning last night again because we don't know. Kitchen cabinet liners are being put in as mommy's building her nest. You know, we didn't get it all done, but we got something done. And then we said, okay, it's time to go to bed. And if he doesn't come, well, we'll get it. We keep saying, well, if he doesn't come, but we know he's coming at any moment, we'll just get more done this week. The anticipation of his coming. I have got to make sure I get my ballot done and get it to the place tomorrow for voting, because there's a good chance that I won't be able to go vote. You know, it's like the baby's coming. I got to get that in order. And I was hoping to get it done last night. But, you know, it's exciting as you do all these things. It helps us to do things we had been meaning to do, and it helped us to prioritize what was just going to have to wait. You know, the tyranny of the urgent can just so often get in the way of things that really need to be done. But when you're expecting someone's arrival, it's kind of exciting, right? There's a, oh, we got to get this ready. Good. Just like we always say, it's wonderful to have visitors come. Because then you really get your house cleaned up, you know, like when you're expecting someone to arrive. So we'd have the best possible environment to welcome him into our life and enjoy him together. And it is exciting. We've been saying it is really exciting to expect Gideon's arrival. It's really exciting to be productive working together. Yes, we're tired. Yes, we're all kind of looking forward to when he finally comes. So we don't have so many doctor's appointments all the time and we don't have so many this and that. So we can just kind of, oh, okay, get back to a little bit of normal. I know there'll be a whole different kind of not sleeping, but, you know, generally we can just stay home at least, you know, and we'll have everything in order. It's been exciting. We've been really enjoying the process. We've been enjoying anticipating him with you all. And I'm sure you're looking forward to when he's here. So I'll stop talking about it all the time. No. But it's also very productive. And that's the thing I was thinking about. It's the same with Jesus saying, watch and be ready, as we've read in our text. It's exciting. It's exciting to be watching for Jesus' return, and it's productive to be watching for Jesus' return. Jesus wants us to be watching for him to return at any moment, and this should be seen in our preparing for his arrival by happily working hard and making a difference in this world. And the anticipation of his coming at any moment is supposed to make us pay attention and prepare. What I want to highlight with you from what we read today is first chapter 24. Would you look at verses 42 to 44 with me of chapter 24? Again, verses 42 to 44. Jesus is giving these illustrations of he can come at any minute. And then he puts in a couple places his application of what he's saying. So again, chapter 24, verse 42. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. And then look ahead to chapter 25 with me, verse 13. Watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So he gives us a lot of these illustrations and stories, but his application is this. You don't know when I'm coming. And I'm going to come when you don't think I'm coming. So you better be ready. Be ready. This word for watching in the Greek, it means be alert. Be awake. Be paying attention. So that you are ready, as he says, and so that you are not surprised. Chapter 24, 36 to 42, he says, it's going to be like the days of Noah. Everybody's marrying, eating, nobody's thinking about him coming. You don't know when it'll be, but it'll be a normal day, and it'll come suddenly, and it'll be drastic. So be ready at any moment. Verses 43 to 44, it's going to be like a thief in the night. You don't know when it's going to happen. Be prepared. Be watching. Be waiting. Be alert. So you're not surprised. But that alertness should be active. Preparedness should be productive. So we see in chapter 24, verses 45 to 51, and chapter 25, verses 14 to 30, you should be like a faithful servant expecting to give an account to your master for how you spent his resources when he returns. You don't know when he's going to return, but he is absolutely going to return. That is certain. So be ready. And that readiness should be seen in preparedness. You should be productive. Chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. Be like the five virgins who kept their lamps full of oil and trimmed and burning, ready to meet Jesus when he returned, to go into the house, to go into the wedding feast with him and not be left out. They were productive. They were maintaining what they had. They weren't being lazy and wasteful and letting it go out. So they weren't left out. Chapter 25, verses 31 to 40. Be busy doing ordinary Christian service to the simplest and the most needy, faithfully living in and loving his church. So it isn't that you have to necessarily go and do some kind of marvelous, unbelievable thing that everybody's going to write a book about. What he's saying is be good servants where the Lord has you. Be faithful servants. Be productive. He who is faithful a little will also be faithful with much. Be found a good servant, watching, always waiting. He's coming back at every moment, which does not mean get lazy, sit back and put your feet up. Again, there is a place for rest, but it means only put your feet up and rest after you've put in a good day's work. Whatever that looks for you at whatever phase of life you're in. But be productive. Be redeeming the time, for the days are evil. Just like we're waiting and watching for our son to arrive, and it makes us try and get more accomplished before he does arrive, so should we all be eagerly anticipating the return of Jesus Christ with proper activity. And so we will find ourselves the most fulfilled people with the most purposeful days as we await the last great day and the arrival of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who says in Proverbs 8, verses 34 and 35, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gate, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord." 1 Peter 4, verse 7. "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer." Revelation 1, verse 7. "Behold, he cometh." That's our prayer at the end of Revelation. This church says with the Spirit, "Come, Lord Jesus, come quickly." And we're told early on, "Behold, he is coming." So be ready. Be watching. Be looking for him. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13. "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong, watch." And let us remember what Peter says, quoting the Psalms. When people try to say to you, "I don't see your Lord coming. I don't see him coming. There's nothing happening." He says, "Remember that a day is as 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years as a day." So he's coming when he's getting ready to come, and it will be sudden, and it will be soon in his providence, and he is outside time. Be ready. Be always watching. And again, that watching is marvelous. It's exciting. You know, we're so excited to have our little one come, and though we're waiting and it's difficult, it's exciting in the waiting. It's a special time. It's a special moment, this anticipating and this preparation and getting everything ready. This is how it should and can be. If you look at the text, there are rewards. There's a blessing when the master comes back, and then more rewards. It's a great thing. There's loss and sorrow with a lack of being prepared, a lack of watching. But it's just a great blessing. It's just exciting. And your life is improved. And you improve the life of those around you as you're watching and waiting and preparing for the arrival, just as you are doing here today. You are watching and you are worshiping. And just as you did yesterday in service here at the church. It was so wonderful to be here sweeping the church parking lot with all of you on the work day. You know, I was thinking about how our neighbors would be watching all of us here, young and old, pushing these brooms, dust flying all over the place, as we're just clearing this parking lot of a whole bunch of dust and dirt and rocks and stones and pebbles. I thought to myself, they probably think we're crazy, or they're going to think maybe, wow, they are really serious about church. They are really serious about what their church is and how it's represented. Church matters to them. Look at how they're preparing. You know, a week or so ago with Olivia, we were going to a store to get something for the baby not far from here. We passed the church, and I said, "Well, honey, who knows with the pandemic what's going on with this church? Maybe they're not attending." But weeds and grass growing up, it looks as if the place has been abandoned. I don't think it has been, but it looks like it has been. And I thought, boy, I'm really thankful that the Lord has blessed our church with the good leadership of the Renners, especially Mr. Renner, to just keep this place looking beautiful, because it says Jesus Christ is coming and we're open, you know, and we're waiting, and we don't let something like a pandemic. When we were all worshiping from home, we still came here, those of us signed up, and kept the church clean and organized. And this is showing that we're not just going to just be lazy. We're going to keep anticipating and waiting and be faithful what the Lord has given us. You know, Mr. Renner said one day when they were doing work here, a man came by, put his hands on the gate, and he said in a loud voice, "Your church is so nice." He's just looking at the property. Well, you see, wasn't it a blessing to be serving together as we're expecting Jesus to return? I'm just thinking, well, you know, we're getting everything. What if he did come today? Wouldn't it be great that the parking lot's all nice and neat to welcome him, you know? I mean, maybe everyone else doesn't care, but I think he would say, well done, good. Wow, you're taking seriously what I have given you. When he does, we want to hear him say that. Well done, good and faithful servant. And that whatever we get done, thinking he could come back tomorrow only makes today even better together. When you drove up on the parking lot, did any of you notice and comment to one another? We did. First thing we did say, boy, doesn't the parking lot look great? That's amazing. So you see, as we're anticipating and we're expecting Christ's arrival, which gives us purpose, which gives us a reason to keep our hands to the plow and be diligent, we enjoy the benefits along the way. And maybe he will come today. And he's got us more paying attention, ready to receive him when he does. Because he's got us watching, anticipating, waiting, preparing, producing. It's fun to work expecting his return, just like it's fun for us right now expecting our son getting one more thing done. Well, he didn't come, but we got that thing done thinking he was about to come. It's productive. And we want Jesus to return, finding us eager to welcome him back, and to show the watching world that we are watching for his arrival. And the imminent return of Jesus Christ does not diminish our work for him. On the contrary, watching for Christ's arrival is productive. And that's what I was thinking about as we've been getting ready for the Babel. Watching for the arrival of someone makes things exciting and productive. And may that be the case for us all our days as he would help us respond to his word. Watch, be ready, be productive, just in the simple things of life where I have put you as a people, as a church, as families. Because watching for Christ's arrival is productive. I think I would have put in there if I thought about it more. It's exciting. It's exciting and it's productive. And may that be what we are about. As we are about the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, help us to hear you and watch. Let us be alert. Let us be active. Let us be prepared. Let us be productive. And let it be exciting for us. Let it be satisfying each day when we can say, well, I thought it was coming today. Maybe tomorrow. But look what we were able to get done to be ready. Lord, thank you. Thank you for teaching us these lessons and let us keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, let us keep running the race set before us. Let us keep looking into the heavens, setting our affections on things above. And let us so eagerly anticipate your second coming, O Lord. And as you come back, may you find us busy. Busy and happy to be a people with a mind to work. And we pray, Lord, that by your grace you would continue to bless thou the work of our hands. And we pray in Jesus' name and all your people said, Amen.